Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yes, it's a Friday, which means a Fransky Friday on the Midday Show. Welcome back, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, and joining us right now, the voice of the Phillies right here on WIP, Scott Fransky, as the team gets set for a trip down to D.C. to take on the Nats. How you doing, Scott?
Scott.
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
Well, I'm doing okay, Scott. My partner, not so much. He's not doing so okay.
Struggling, Scott. This is not great.
Why?
Scott, the week obviously didn't go good for the Phillies. Swept in New York against the Mets here. What's watching this day-to-day, observing it day-to-day, are you sensing frustration here? What's the sense you're feeling from them? Because it feels like they're starting to have a loss for words at why they can't figure this out.
Yeah, I do think there's some frustration. I think, from all accounts, it seems like it was a pretty quiet couple of nights on the bench, couple of days on the bench. And I know that's something that, that's not good for a team. It's not who they are. You know, they're usually a pretty upbeat group, even when things are not going well. So I think the series was pretty disappointing for them. I do think there's a fair amount of head scratching as to why they can't get it turned around. I mean, the Mets are a good team. You leave yourself in a position where you got to beat Scherzer to avoid a sweep. Not too many teams are successful at that. So, and nobody's really immune, you know. I mean, everybody's got warts and flaws and mistakes they've made. So, it's really up and down the roster.
Speaking of that, and I don't want to get into anybody specific, but do you think it's time to start moving some guys around in this lineup a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that there's options, really. I mean, you look at who's hot, and it's not a long list. You look at who's struggling, and that is a long list. I'm not so sure. I mean, you could the one thing I would probably do is try to get some rest for some guys. And by rest, I mean a mental break. I mean, a guy like Schwarber, I mean, he's been grinding, he's been trying, and he's not been able to get out of it. Does a day off mean he will? No, but I just feel like maybe he needs a break. You know what I mean? I don't know if they're going to do that, ready to do that. I'm not really sure, but I do think there's some guys in there probably could use some breaks just to get a mental breather.
We're talking to Scott Fransky of Fransky Fridays. The Phillies get set for a series against the Nationals. Scott, Rob Thompson, last year he came in around this time and everything turned the other way, and now he's kind of in the middle of this. And I don't think this is on him. I think this is about the players not performing. But yesterday I just was a little puzzled, and they've done this before with the platoon with Marsh, starting games. But yesterday he came out of that game late in the ninth inning. That was the last batter for Drew Ellis, who just got here. Have you gotten a feeling from Rob on why the Phillies don't just let Marsh play every day? Because other than when his shoulder was a little banged up, I've liked what I've seen out of Marsh. I just want to see him play every day at this point and get all the at-bats.
Yeah, well, I do think he's been playing pretty much every day. It was a little different when Pache was on the roster and was swinging a little bit better, where you might have him platoon out and have Pache play in center. But, I mean, Marsh has been getting a lot of the at-bats. I haven't talked to Rob about the particulars, you know, what was going into his thoughts of, on pinch hitting for Marsh there. I mean, I know there's a lefty up there. I just don't think they like that matchup with Rayleigh against Marsh. They knew that Showalter would flip and go to the righty, but he still felt like right on right was better than the left on left that he was going to be left with. So, but again, I don't want to speak for him because I haven't talked to him about it. I will say this about Marsh. You know, I think they probably gave a lot of thought to moving him up in the order when he was going well early on. And, you know, they left him where he was. And he's not walking as much as he did at the outset. And again, the shoulder thing was an issue for him for a little while. But, you know, I mean, I like him as a player. I think he's pretty much playing every day. Maybe an occasional break or two. Maybe that changes. I don't know if Pache comes back. I really don't know.
Scott, when you look at this squad, when you think of the things that could potentially fix it, is it the hitting that you think is the biggest problem, or is it the pitching?
Well, I think the offense is the biggest disappointment, for sure. The starting pitching hasn't been great, but I think the offense has been so below their career norms that that I do think there's a lot of room for growth there. I don't know how much better I think the starting pitching can be better. You know, Wheels, I think a lot of the peripheral numbers suggest he's the same guy as he has been in years past. Nola, not so much, but I think he can be better. I think Walker should be better, but not like by leaps and bounds. I think where you can really improve is with the offense. I mean, Turner's got to be better. Harper's got to be better. Schwarber's got to be way better. JT's got to be better. Nick's even got to be better. He hit one home run in the month of May. You know, the lack of long ball power is, I think, it's a big deal for this team. I don't think there's any question about it.
Scott, and this might be a tough question for you to answer. I'm just curious your perspective on this, because I've been thinking a lot about it. I almost, like, the NL right now is all muddled up. You know, every team, I think, is within five games of a playoff spot. And I can see there's two sides to that, which is like, all right, it's been bad, but the Phillies are really, they're still, what, 2.5 games, 3.5 games out of a playoff spot. But the other side is, like, it almost can lead to a lack of sense of urgency. I felt like last year when they made the manager switch, it was like, we got to get going now, otherwise this thing will slip away. And I fear that they don't have that urgency this year to get going because they're fine. They're within the race. I'm not saying they don't. It's just my fear. What do you think about that? The NL, blessing or a curse? Because you don't really have to do much to stay in it, but at some point you got to play good baseball.
Yeah, I think the thing that I don't think it's so much that they're complacent and sitting around and waiting because the NL is jumbled up. But I think what this team could use is a good winning streak, an 8 out of 10. You know, last year, I think they were on the verge of obviously falling out. And when Rob Thompson took over, they won 9 games in a row. And the way that completely shifts everybody's mental framework is pretty dramatic. And all of a sudden there's enthusiasm, there's energy. You know, what comes first, the energy or the wins? Do you get energy because you're winning? Did you win because you're energetic? But I do think the fact that they won all those games in a row, it got everybody back into it, mentally, physically, whatever, and proved to them that they could play. I think they probably could use Rob Thompson says that he has hope because of the track record. Right, the track record of the players, the numbers on the back of the baseball card, and while hope is something, hope doesn't actually perform. He knows that. You know, he has confidence and faith in them to do it, but that does not mean they will. And I think it's on them. Go back last year when the Phillies were struggling down the stretch. Joe, you talked about it. We talked about it. Dave Dombrowski said, our team is built up of stars, and our stars have to perform. We can talk all we want about Marsh and Stott and the fifth starter and Cody Clemens and things like that, but this team is about the money that's invested in Turner and Harper and Castellanos and Schwarber and Wheeler and Nola, and, you know, the big money guys. Those are the guys that have to do it. They're the ones that will lead this team out of the hole if they're able to do it.
Yeah, Scott, it's a great point. I mean, they have about seven guys that are making a ton of money, and they got to be better. Otherwise, this team's not going to go anywhere. All right, Scott, let's end on a light note here, because I certainly could use a few drinks as I watch this team this year. And we know there's a new good one, the Bedlam at the Bank Golden Ale, Conchoc and Brewing Company. So tell us about partnering with Glenn Mack now and his beer company here and the event coming up this Thursday.
Yeah, well, you know, Glenn and Conchoc and Brewing, they've done this a couple of years in a row with some different local folks. And I know they had a Merrill and Mike brew, and he came to us over the winter and said, would you be interested in a Fransky LA one? I said, yeah, well, sure, we could do it. So portion of the proceeds go to help the Philadelphia Youth Sports Commission and help, you know, local youth sports organizations. We're having an auction next Thursday, June 8th, at the Bridgeport location of Conchoc and Brewing. Tickets $20. It'll get you food when you get in the door. There's going to be a lot of folks there. Larry and I will be there to shake some hands and take some photos and say hi to some folks. So I hope folks will find the time to come out next Thursday night, June 8th.
Well, I was out there for the Merrill Mike one. It was a big event. I'm sure this one will be as well. And it's a cool place there. It's a great spot to have some beer, Hugh, and fun place. All right, Scott, so we have a pair of tickets to give away here. So we thought, let's let you help give away these tickets because it's your beer. So why don't you throw out a number, and then when you say that number, that caller to 215-988-1258. That's the phone number. When Scott says it, you call in.
That's easy right there.
Yeah, it is easy. We just want to give these away. It's Scott Fransky. You give the number, and that caller wins. What number is it, Scott?
So it probably would be bad for me to use Larry. I was going to use Larry's number, but that's not the way this contest is going, right? You don't want to wait for caller number 47.
Well,
do
I don't care. This is Kyle Quinn behind the glass. I mean, it'll take him a long time to vet that. But
I am not going to do that to Kyle.
Thank you, Scott.
I'm not going to do that to Kyle. How about caller number 4?
Caller number 4. That works. Our caller number 4 to 215-988-1258. You win a pair of tickets to the release party, Fransky in L.A., Bedlam at the Bank, Golden Ale. Scott, appreciate you hopping on. We'll talk next week, and hopefully by the time we talk next, some wins against the Nats and the Tigers are in the bank.
That would be great. We'll talk to you then.
You got it.
Good one, man.
There we go. Scott Fransky there. Appreciate him hopping on. Yes, this is pretty cool. So, Hugh, I went to the one last year. Last year was the release for the Maryland Mike beer that Glenn's Brewing Company put out. And now we get the Bedlam at the Bank Golden Ale.
I got to talk to Glenn because I need to figure out how much alcohol he put in these drinks. Man.
So it depends on what the beer is. The IPAs, the Maryland Mike one, from my memory, is
pretty stout.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Yeah, I like a heavy beer.
I tried that Maryland Mike not too long ago. It's delicious, but yes, I'm an IPA guy. I like the hoppier
beers.
Yeah, good buzz.
Yeah, that's the way I am. And usually if I'm at home and I have a couple, it's time for bed.
Night beer.
Yeah, lay down and go to bed.
You're not at that age yet, but you're almost at that age that's what you drink. You just want a mellow night.
Oh, it's just going to bed. Yeah, I'm not going out or anything like that. All right, but it's exciting here. And next Thursday night at the Bridgeport location, Scott in L.A. will be there. Bernie Perrant, Joe Conklin, Glenn, of course. The party's open. All proceeds go to the Philadelphia Youth Sports. So it's a great event. And if you could go out, hop out there next Thursday and pick up some beer while you're there. 215-592-9494. Let's get back to the phone lines here. A lot to discuss. If you could undo the Trey Turner contract, would you? I would. Hugh would not. And, of course, your first impressions of Nick Nurse after the press conference yesterday. With Q&A coming up in a little bit. And Hugh's impressions after going out to Eagles OTAs yesterday. Rob in West Philadelphia. What's up, Rob?
Yeah, I wanted to touch bases on Joel Embiid a little bit.
Okay.
And I think that the criticism of him is a little over the top. You know, it's ridiculous.
What is ridiculous?
Wait a minute, we criticized Joel Embiid today? We did that today?
I'm not talking about you guys.
Just in general, okay.
Callers that call it that seem to be centered on him being the problem.
Dope.
When in fact, he's been injured for the last 3 years. He's been in the playoffs. It is like, I don't know, it's like a curse.
Well, but it's also it's his reality, right? He's not durable enough and good enough in the playoffs.
Well, the fact is he's been injured in the playoffs. And we have We need a better team around him. You know, this team is good. Don't get me wrong. But they're not championship level yet. And sometimes that can be solved through experience, you know, keeping a team together. Because you got to realize most superstars don't win in their first 6-7 years. There are a few exceptions. But it takes a while. You know, it took Jordan 7 years before he won a championship.
Rob, you're right. It took LeBron sometimes. But also some guys.
It took LeBron nine.
Right. But,
9 years.
Well, he also came in at 18 and was dominating the league. But yeah, you're right. But Rob, it also doesn't mean it's not like every star is going to just start winning when they get to year 8, 9, 10. Like, some guys never win.
I know. That's not my point. My point is, overall, the team is not good enough to win a championship.
Rob, I agree with you. But don't you think he's the common denominator of all these exits in the playoffs?
Well, no. Put it this way. If you're injured and you're in the playoffs and you can't perform up to your level, naturally you're going to get the criticism, but you're injured. So that's the reality of it.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How do you rate his performance in game 6 and 7? Regardless of him being hurt, how do you rate his performance?
Oh, I think in game 7 he quit. Basically, he quit.
Well, he did, but that's
unacceptable.
Yeah,
is that?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But that's a product of frustration. Now, I mean, I'm not trying to say he shouldn't be criticized. I'm simply saying that the type of criticism I hear is over the top.
Okay.
Because mainly our team, we need to add pieces to our team to get us to that point where we can be over the top.
I don't disagree with that. But if he's not better. And then you could bring in that he's always banged up, but that is what it is. If he's not better in the playoffs, they'll never win a championship.
But one more point I want to make. Do you know that James Harden is the only player on that team that can make consistent entry passes to the post? I've been watching them. Look, I've been a Sixers fan since we got George McGinnis, right before we got Doc. Mm-hmm. That's when I started paying attention to him. I was a teenager then. But I noticed, for some strange reason, when he is down low, he doesn't get the timely passes, not in a consistent basis. Like, I understand we are going to change our offense, and I believe Nick Nurse will solve that issue. I really believe he will. He's an X and O coach. He knows what he's doing. But I have been noticing a lot of times when he does try and post up, he's not getting a timely pass.
Well, he's not, but it also is part of the problem. Like, the great players in the league today don't need anyone to get them the ball. They just take the ball and direct the offense.
But now he's not that player.
He's the only star player in the league, like real star, that needs someone to help him get the ball. You realize that, right? Like, Giannis takes the rebound and runs. Jokic takes the ball and runs. The rest of these guys are wings or guards. Like, he needs someone to hold his hand to help him.
I like how you're holding it
but
together.
But I'm making a reference to people constantly saying they want him posting up more. I do, too. But in order for us to be able to operate that successfully, we need a crash course on how to make entry passes to a big man down low.
They could, and maybe Nick Nurse will. Rob, we appreciate it. Or they need him to be more of a playmaker, which is what Nick Nurse talked about yesterday. And I did try to keep it together
You did a good job. Rob, you made some good points, though. I mean, he was at least honest about Joel Embiid and his performance in the last game.
That calmed me down when he was real about it.
He was honest. I mean, but my thing is this. They're still making excuses for a grown-ass man who should know better at this point in his career.
I know.
You know what I mean? And there is no way that – quitting on any level is acceptable. It's not. And for me, that's the absolute most egregious thing that he did this year in this finals. He quit.
I know. And the point, and this gets brought up so many times, every time Joel doesn't win, this gets brought up. Well, it took Michael X amount of years. It took LeBron X amount of years. Guys, you're right about that. But guess what? I'm sure if you go back in the archives, whether it be in Phoenix or in New York, or wherever there was a star that never won anything. You know what they're probably saying? They're saying this about Charles Barkley. Well, you know, it took Michael this many years. Barkley will get his. No, he didn't get his. Well, you know, Patrick Ewing, it took this guy this many years. He never got his. Just because you're an MVP level player or a great player, doesn't you're not just entitled to a championship. You have to go earn it. Like it's not. They don't just give these away.
I mean, I think when I look at that Joel Embiid led team this year, and people talk about you need a good team around you. I mean, I respect your position, but you need to miss me with that because that team, all you had to do, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, in my not playing basketball ever in my life opinion, was work a little harder than you did in the last 6 minutes of that game. And the outcome, we would have been playing the Miami Heat. We'd probably be in the finals right now.
So here's my humble opinion as someone who, on record, has the worst shot in the history of the Wells Fargo Center. Yeah. I'm not a basketball player. Here's my opinion on how to do this. Don't roll over like a dog in Game 6 and Game 7.
Dog, that's so strong.
He did. And strong. So did the other. And then Harden's not off the hook either. I mean, he rolled over like
don't
a dog.
Don't walk
too.
Up and down the floor. You know what? I was thinking, I brought this up in the meeting today because I know a lot of us, I'm sure, watched the Miami Heat and Denver Nuggets finals, even though it wasn't the ratings masterpiece that everyone was, praying that
Kyle's
it would be.
Favorite
thing. Boy, it was bad though.
Well, it was, but
it was real bad.
I had a pretty big takeaway from the fourth quarter when Denver is a place where games can really get away from you if you're sort of if you let off the gas and you're gassed because the altitude thing it's very real that it's a very significant home court advantage that they have in Denver. That's a game where I think if the Sixers are in that position, they're getting crushed by like 40 points by that fourth quarter.
There's
it just sort of piles on. What I respected about the Heat last night was that they didn't stop the entire game. I mean, they were doing their best to cut into that lead. It's about 2 minutes left, and they're still, trying to put in threes and cut the lead down to like 9. I know everyone's, they got their ass kicked, this and that, but like, I saw a respectable amount of fight out of the Heat last night.
He didn't quit.
In a degree that I would not expect from the Sixers had they been in that same situation.
Didn't quit.
You're right about that. They didn't quit, and they at least kept the game within, like, kind of reason.
Nine?
Yeah, nine. Eh. It was in reason, right? Like, they could come back.
That was the spread, but again, like, 9 points you got 3 minutes in an NBA game is nothing. I mean, it was within reach for them.
Yeah, it was reasonable. The other thing that caught me last night, Kyle's right. The Heat did fight. Man, I hope Joel Embiid taking notes watching Nikola Jokic play basketball. Like it's just like he plays the game at a level that Joel is certainly talented enough to play it at, but just doesn't in the playoffs. Doesn't play like that. 215-592-9494. We'll get to all your phone calls coming up here. If you could, would you undo the Trey Turner contract? We are 2 months in. It has been bad so far. Would you undo it as Trey Turner and the Phillies struggle to 25-31 start? And your takeaways from Nick Nurse's press conference. We'll get to all that. Plus, he was at OTAs yesterday. He has some observations to get into. He might have caused a little trouble, too. We'll get to that. And what's going on here? A Sixer has made their decision. Who is it?
Uh-oh.
We'll tell you next. It's you'll see. 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Q&A, where you ask and Hugh will answer. Ask me the questions. Coming up at WIP Midday Show to leave your questions there. So we'll get to that and Hugh's observations coming up at OTAs in a minute here. But we did promise you a Sixer had made his decision. No, it's not that one. It's actually Daniel House. Daniel House is picking up his option, Hugh. So throw the parade, get everyone excited. Daniel House back. Will we ever forget the Daniel House playoff game?
The Daniel House game, the house
was that
party.
Game five? What game was that? It was in Boston. It was the game in Boston.
That might have been game one, right? It was game one or game five. I'm not sure.
I've lost track.
Yeah, me too.
It was either one or five.
It was one of the good ones.
One of the ones they won up in Boston.
Yes.
It might have been five where Doc pushed the button to bring
Daniel
House.
Yeah, the right
House
button.
In. Yeah.
Right button. Doc, speaking of Doc, by the way.
Yeah, Doc pulled his name out of the hunt for the Suns job. So the Suns job is going to Vogel?
Yeah, so Doc did pull his name out knowing that he probably wasn't going to get it. They're like, you're not dumping me.
No, I'm not. Yeah, you're not gonna play me.
Can't fire me. I quit.
So Frank Vogel, the new Suns coach. All right, before we get back to the phones, we'll get to all your thoughts on Trey Turner. Would you undo the contract if you could, if you had the magic wand? Would you wave it and undo the contract? And Nick Nurse thoughts. Hugh, yesterday, Eagles OTAs, they're doing these over the next week or so, and it's kind of the first time this group with the rookies too, right? Because it's what they did in free agency, and then now you had the rookies on the field together. So you went out there yesterday after our short show. Well, tell us about it.
Yeah, it was fun, man. Football season is not that far away. I think somebody says 100 days away or something like that.
Thank God.
I think the NFL season was a few days ago. It was 100, but the Eagles' first game is 100 days from right now.
Yeah. So yeah, look at Joe with that quick.
Oh, I'm ready.
But it was funny, man, because it was a few things that happened to me yesterday. First of all, I'm straddling the fence between being an Eagles alumni and a host on WIP. So, there's a little bit – there's not a bad relationship between the two of us, but there's a relationship.
Well, it's like two different things.
Yeah. Ball so jumping.
It's funny. That's true.
Because I'm coming into the building, and instinctively, I'm going through the doors that I'm used to going through because I'm alumni and player. So, shout out to Don Smolinski. Because I'm coming through the front door with a WIP t-shirt on, and Dom was like, yo, are you sure this the door you're supposed to be coming through? And I was like, Dom, honestly, I don't know. So, he helped me. He escorted me through the building, and I went to practice. So I found out that is not the door that the media goes through. And plus, and at the time that I was going, I was representing the media, so I have to adhere by the
rules. You're wearing a different hat now.
Yeah, I'm wearing a different hat. And so I proceed to go to practice, and I'm at practice, and now I'm trying to figure out how should I move at practice because I don't know. So normally, in an alumni role, you have a little bit more freedom, mm-hmm. but I was in a work role, so I had to kind of stay with the rest of the media. So I didn't get a chance to go. I like to look at the D-line, man. I wanted to go look at some of the young cats. I wanted to look at Jalen Carter. I wanted to look at Nolan Smith, and I wanted to look at Jordan Davis, the Georgia kids. And I wanted to see what they were doing, maybe get a chance to holler at BG or whatever. I don't think he was there yesterday. So it was a little tough because I was kind of straddling the fence. But it was exciting to see, man. Jalen Hurts looked like he's put on a little bit of weight, muscular, more muscular than he was the
swole?
Year before. Yeah, a little swole, a little swole. I didn't know A.J. Brown was as big as he was.
He's huge.
Yeah,
looks like he got bigger somehow.
And it was funny, right, because I'm sitting there talking to Bob Lane, the PR guy. Shout out to Bob. And – You know, it's funny. when you see a person without the shoulder pads and stuff mm-hmm. on, and I didn't see his number, but I said, Bob, who's the Lilliputian out there? And he was like, who, Boston Scott? And I was like, wow.
He's short. Man.
That's Boston Scott. Like, no disrespect to Boston. I just didn't know you were that small.
Isn't it ironic that the smallest dude is the giant killer?
Yeah, he's the giant killer. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then I saw, you know, DeAndre Swift. Saw some of the guys, man, just excited about football being here.
So the other thing we found out yesterday from all the media out there, you know, Elliot was covering it and did the Go Birds podcast, that N'Kobe Dean is wearing the green dot. He's the green dot guy, which means he's the signal caller for the defense, which, Hugh, that gives me a lot of hope that they think he's ready to pretty much be an every down guy, because usually the green dot guy stays on the field a lot.
Yeah, and I think they're going to do a tremendous job of protecting N'Kobe and allowing him to be the leader that he once was at Georgia. I know got a lot of Georgia guys here, and give him a chance to shine, man. You know, he's small for a linebacker, but he isn't that small.
He doesn't look too small? Like, he doesn't look undersized out there?
Well, you know, I'm going off of when we did the bike ride. He's put together. He's put together.
He listed at 231. That's not tiny. That's not too tiny.
That's not small, but, you know, we're used to seeing linebackers like Jeremiah Trotter and Bill Berge, some bigger dudes. So that's probably where we are. But you got to think that in this NFL – it's all about speed and being fluid.
Covering ground.
Yeah, covering a lot of ground, man. And you know, he's going to be in position to make some plays in the running game. But I think that mostly when you look at him, he's going to be kind of a guy that's going to factor in huge in the passing game. Because one thing that if you don't have to take him off the field in passing downs and he's not a liability, I think that's a great, great thing to have out there on the football field. I really do.
I agree. I'm excited for him. And it clearly means – the way I view it is they think he's ready. Because the green dot guy stays on the field. Now, I don't know if it's not him who it would be, because they also have safeties that don't exactly play every down, and
Paul
we don't
Orlo.
Know right now. Yeah, is that his name?
Nicholas
Morrow. You know, it's gonna take me a while to figure out.
Every time I think of Paul Warlow, every time he says Paul Warlow, I think about his wife selling her wigs to make ends meet.
Yeah, I'm going to come on here week one and be like, they got this guy whose wife's selling wigs.
Paul
he can't
Warlow.
Play.
Wigs are. I didn't know wigs were that expensive, though.
How much is a wig?
Well, it all depends on what kind of hair the wig is. If it's like real human hair, those are pretty expensive.
Warlow's wigs?
Well, I think it's his, like, I remember reading a story randomly, and it was talking about his wife were selling wigs. You know, like, I'm not going to even tell you about the story that I was reading yesterday about another former player that was here. But,
uh-oh.
You know.
About wigs? No.
Well, it wasn't about wigs. It was about something else. Okay. But I'll share that.
Maybe that's for a different day.
I was actually going to ask you how you thought, I know you said you didn't get to see too much of the defensive line on the other side, but how did Jordan Davis look? I saw one of Elliot's tweets, and he described him as, what was the word? Did you see this? He described him as svelte. First of all,
he had a good bowel movement.
Yeah,
he lost a few.
Are we just going a little bit too high vocabulary for what we do here?
That's
he looks like he's in good shape, right?
Bungholitis.
That's the most vocabulary
but
we
got. But, you know, I will say I saw ESP out there yesterday. He looked like a kid in the candy store. He was running around
bouncing.
Oh, he's
got his notebook,
right?
He got his
note. Like, listen, man.
Wait, he looks svelte.
You got to see, when he comes on with us during training camp, he will chart every throw Jalen makes and give us his stats at the end of practice, including, like warm-ups. Well, like, you know, 7-on-7.
I mean, that's that next level. That's that next level thing right there.
I agree.
Man. And I am not mad at him for it.
By the way,
I'm not.
He's been doing
that.
By the way, I mean, I've known Elliot a while. I think back to the Sam Bradford and days. He did that. Yeah.
But, the reaction to him putting up, like, you know, he put Jalen Hurts' completion percentage yesterday in his grade, and I mean, how furious people actually get at something like that that's so, like, simple, like, innocuous is...
Well, plus, this is what he does. He's been doing this for every quarterback they've had for, like, almost a decade.
Why would you want less access to your team? I just don't understand that.
I want
people
most.
Like that
if
stuff,
people are
man.
Just annoyed with it because it's Elliot. Like, if it were, like... if
you
it were
people don't like Elliot just because?
if it were an esteemed...
He's got strong takes.
Yeah, like, if it were somebody, like, you know...
Is that what it is?
What if Stan Hockman, God rest his soul, went out there and was... like charting training camp stats, you have people be like, "Yeah, there you go, Stan."
Listen,
you
know? I'm gonna make.
They just don't like Elliot.
I'm gonna make a guess on this, and he could tell us I'm wrong on this one day when we talk to him next. There wasn't Twitter back then, guys, for him to post it. I guarantee, with the guy we know he is, right, with the copious notes he takes, don't you think back in the day Ray used to do the same thing?
Yeah, come on, like
it just wasn't a platform for him to share every note he had.
Ray, did he? Yeah, Ray Diddy takes notes now.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, I'm sure back at training camp in, you know, whenever, when Jaws was here, I'm sure he was charting everything and then just using it however he used it in his columns or his articles.
It's never a bad thing to have a lot of information.
No.
Right. The more access, the more information, the better. That's why they call him the beat writer you need. Now, I will say this. I do have a critique of his grade that he gave Jalen Hurts. I mean, what did he have? Seven for 11 was the completion percentage against no defenders. And he got an A-. I mean, that's like, sounds like a C to me.
Well, I mean, unless a couple.
7 out of 11. All depends on how you grade.
Yeah, and maybe a couple of those were good
maybe
passes that went off the hands. Right?
The Carson Wentz thing.
No, let's not bring that up. Let's not do that. Yes, I'm excited for all this stuff. And yes, the Eagles are back, which is awesome. We have some OTAs going on. 215-592-9494. Joe in Mayfair is up on WIP. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good afternoon. And man, you've had a couple of nut callers today so far with.
That's every day. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's every day around
what
here, Joe.
What are you talking about? That's every day.
Oh, my God. But anyway, I got to get on this Phillies thing. And the energy level and the care and the passion and the win one for Topper is completely over. And he seems completely overmatched as a manager to sit somebody or afraid to drop somebody, walking on eggshells, you know, to want to be their friend. I mean, he's a player's manager, unlike Girardi. So I don't believe in Topper in turning this around. I know the entire team right now seems like they're completely lost, and, you know, you're not trading or, you know, players on this roster. So if the players aren't going to turn it around and you don't believe in Topper, yeah, you have no choice but eventually to cut bait unless you're okay with losing 90 to 100 games this year, which would be outrageous. I don't know what you guys think on that.
Well, it would be outrageous if they lost that many, considering the expectations, considering, you know, even if you just go to, like, what Vegas thought about this team. I think it was, like, 87.5 was the over-under. If they lose 90 games, it's one of the biggest disappointments in modern Philadelphia sports history, Joe. But I'm not sure another manager would change the result. Last year, I felt there was a chance. Like, I didn't know, Joe, none of us did, that Topper was going to get this team to the World Series last year. But I did think Girardi was so bad that a change in voice could spark him, and it worked. I don't feel like it would change anything this time.
Well, before I get to the Eagle stuff, last year, if you can remember, during their hot streaks, they had clutch 8th and 9th inning hits.
Well, I think back to the Milwaukee game, right? When they beat Hader, when it was Bohm and Vierling.
There was lots of them
last
year.
There was. Stubbs, yeah.
Yep. And if you don't have those clutch 8th or 9th inning hits when you're down by a run to two runs, you are going to have tons of losses. You take away those runs last year, those key hits in the 8th and 9th innings, they're not making the playoffs. They had at least 7 or 8 wins in June last year that were late-inning heroics, and I haven't seen that yet this year. But let's get to the Eagles, and I heard something very exciting because I am a huge Nakobe Dean fan, and I know last year he didn't get a chance to play, but hearing him wear the green dot and him getting an opportunity to lead the defense with the calling and the trust that they're giving him and all the hype on Nolan Smith and, you know, Jordan Davis slimming down and getting the dynamic with our free safety who from Illinois, who seems like he's a smart player, who's physical and built like a chisel like Brendan Moore used to be. I'm more excited about the defense this year and the offense getting rid of our defensive coordinator. Is Desai going to maybe play more aggressive when you got a little bit more physicality in town, or do you think it's the same old last year, bend but don't break?
No, I had a chance to talk to Coach Desai, and he sounds like he didn't give me a whole lot, but it did sound like from what I did glean that he was going to get after it a little bit.
Yeah, one of the things that, Joe, we appreciate, one of the things I saw someone posted a video, Hugh, of the one year he was in Chicago, well, the time he was in Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. And at one point, he was using, I'm trying to remember who it was then. I think it was Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
His two best pass rushers, like, next to each other. He lined them up right. Like, it was a little bit, it was a wrinkle on just, like, you line up on one side, you line up on the other.
Yeah, because, you know, you want to slide a protection that way.
Yes.
And it gives somebody on the other side opportunity to get after the quarterback a little bit.
So, look, to answer Joe's question, I don't think the Eagles are suddenly going to become one of the biggest blitz teams in the NFL. It's not their philosophy. I doubt that. But I do think we could see more of that kind of creativity where it's just a little – it's a wrinkle.
Yeah, they're going to get after it. I think, like, from talking to him, I think they're going to get after it a lot. Now, if that's in a blitz package or just coming after people with a four-man front, they're going to be – I think they're going to be a little bit more aggressive.
I'm going to say this about the defense. I hope we can have, and I know I'm going to probably regret saying this in week three when I'm annoyed. I hope we can have a little patience with the defense because they're young and there's a new coordinator.
Get real.
I do think they will get, I'll put it this way. I think the defense will be 5 times better in November than they are in September. I just think there's
What's up, Bird Gang?
Well, Woo-hoo. There's that. I just think they're young. Like they could have some growing pains with all this young talent. Like there could be a defense on the field in week one that has Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, Reed Blankenship, Sidney Brown. They're all like their first or second year in the league. Like they can make mistakes, but I think they'll be good in time.
Well, you know what? I'll pull this back to Kansas City last year, who had a very young secondary. Yep. I think they started two rookies who, you know, they might have started off a little bit slow.
It took time.
Catching up. Right. But by the time they get to the Super Bowl and they're 20 games in, they're not really technically like rookies anymore, right? They have like 18, 19 games mm-hmm. under their belt of NFL action. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's, as the season goes further along, that's what we should expect out of the guys. But, you know, I don't know if they can afford to start slow. Like, they can't really lose one or two of those games in the first 4 weeks that they shouldn't
and then go through
that stretch.
That
I mean, they need to start off hot.
Yeah, and they need the offense to be good right away so they could cover up some of those warts. Self is up next. Hey, Self.
What's going on, gentlemen? How y'all feeling?
Hey,
what's going on?
Hey, listen, man. Every day this city becomes somebody different. Today we the city of the lose no losers. This is the last caller who said we been hard on him, bum, man. I don't get it. We talking about cashing out Trey Turner. He ain't even been here 8 months. But yeah, and bum been here 8 years and we still defending this dude. I don't get it.
I knew that would annoy you because it drove. When I saw that call up there, I was like, "What are we doing?"
Hey, listen, yeah, I mean, first off, like I'm not giving up on Trey Turner. It's still early. You know, people gave up on Nick, and they gotta stop slighting my man Nick. All right, he hit one home run in a month. So what? He's hitting doubles, triples, singles. He's bringing in RBIs. Like, stop slighting my man like that. You know what I mean? Like, you got Trey who ain't doing nothing. You got Schwarber who, you know, on the cold bed right now. I mean, like, stop slighting my man Castellino, man. Like, Castellino, whatever his name.
Yeah, he has had a nice year. He's been one of their better players. Yeah.
Players. Yeah, right. So at the end of the day, man, I'm not giving up on Nick. I'm not ready to cash him out. As far as Nick Nurse, I watched that interview, him wanting Harden back. I'm not impressed. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs next season. I think they're going to be a worse off team, even more confused. And I don't know, man. I just Phillies, it's up to the Eagles, man. Eagles going to have to do it because the Phillies, I'm losing a little hope in. And the Sixers, I have no hope in.
Well, I think we all agree on that. It's up to the Eagles to figure this thing out because this it's been a rough few months here, Hugh.
Yeah.
It was so good for a while.
Everybody, when you look at the way the Eagles are constructed, they look like they have the better chance of being the most consistent team going into the season, like getting off to a great start and carrying that thing all the way through. So, yeah, I can see that. I can see why people are excited about football season.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait. I mean, the team last year was obviously so close, and it's a different team now. They had a lot of changes on defense.
Yeah, but
the
NFC still stinks.
Well, they're the favorite right now. And
Sneaky
the
NFC.
The team that's
Dak is ass.
Yeah, well, there's that. And the team that's right behind them in the NFC odds might start Sam Darnold in week one, Niners.
You know what's funny? I was talking to Brian Baldinger yesterday when he was at practice. And he feels he's kind of bullish on the Eagles and their chances. You know, he was talking about, hey, man, they got a good team. You know, and we were talking about the division and some of the things he said. Baldy watches a lot of film.
He does.
So, I always defer to him. But when he told me he thinks that the Washington, whatever they call themselves now, is going to be a pretty good team or the division is going to be pretty good, he said he thinks the Giants are going to be pretty good.
Well,
I don't see it. But like I said, Baldy watches a lot of film, and you have to defer to him with that. But
too much film. I mean, if you're talking about the Commanders competing in the NFC, then
he said the Giants. I was like, I don't see it. But I mean, hey, like I said, I always defer to my man because he has the big board and he's in his house and everything. But yeah, I'm not.
Well, yeah, I fear the Cowboys more than the Giants. Just heading into the season,
I think that's clear. Yeah, yeah. The Giants, I think, are my Giants probably be my big step back candidate.
It feels that way.
No, I would be surprised. I'd be surprised if the Giants win 8 games.
And as much as we like to rip the Cowboys, and I still don't really find them to be a legitimate threat to actually do damage in the playoffs with between McCarthy and Dak, they do give us fits. I mean, we have trouble playing with them, and it's always neck and neck, us and them in the division. So.
I mean, look, last year, guys, the Eagles had one of the greatest seasons of franchise history. They stayed healthy, and yet they needed Week 18. They need Jalen Hurts on one shoulder to come back in Week 18.
They did, but
to finish the division.
Hurts was injured for a few weeks.
He was.
And he could have put Dallas away in the game.
He probably would have. He would have. Yeah, that was that. Minshew had decent numbers in that game, but I thought he turned the ball over way too much.
Minshew mania.
It was. It was some mania here 2 years ago. I had to ward off the Minshew maniacs when Hurts missed the game. They wanted that guy to play. All right, before we go any further, we'll get back to the phone lines. Let's play a little Q&A.
This is so fun. I love doing this every Friday. Okay, these questions come from the text line, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
They say, what is a hidden skill or talent of yours that not many people know about?
Not basketball.
Yeah, not. It's not basketball. I can cook.
What can you cook?
Anything. Wow. I do, so like.
You mean food with meat in it? Not vegan stuff.
I can do that. I mean,
so what's your best dish? What was the one that if you had to like cook for somebody and you had your absolute best dish with that, Joe can cook, what is that dish?
All right. I could make anything, but like this is like kind of a more fancy dish. Like you might want this for like a dinner. It's like a pasta linguine with like some spicy shrimp in there, like a sauce.
That's good. Yeah.
I don't know about that spicy, though. I could
cut back on the spice.
I don't fool with the spicy food like that, man, because they get to talking to me at night.
Man up, you.
So with my old schedule, and my wife's a teacher, and we have two young kids, so it just became for a while I cooked every meal because I was home during the middle of the day, and then they get home and like they're busy. So for like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, I cooked every dinner.
Okay.
So I know how to cook.
That's cool. That's a good one. That's a good skill to have. Always a good skill to have. Wish I had that skill. Okay, this is another one from the text line. What was the idol that you met and it ruined it, your impression of them? Like you met somebody and you found out they were kind of like a Richard.
Yeah.
I got a name for you.
He came up quick.
You
well, because I know this guy does listen to the station.
Uh-oh.
One of my first favorite athletes, and my age, you'll understand it. I've never met him. You hear about him in the stories and so social media nonsense. One of my first favorite baseball players was Lenny Dykstra.
And you found out Lenny.
Well, Lenny's, you know, he's...
Lenny's different.
Yeah, that's a good word. Lenny's different.
You could sum up Lenny, so there was an issue with him and Ron Darling. There was an issue with him and everybody, let's be honest.
Well, that's pretty real.
Issue lately with him and Ron Darling, and there was accusations flying around about Lenny, and let's be honest, most of them were probably true, but... I think it was Lenny was trying to get a defamation lawsuit on Darling, and the judge basically ruled that Lenny is such a POS that like
it, POS
you, that like
that
you
means.
Couldn't rule out him doing anything. Any like that this is so within your character that you can't possibly be defamed any further because you are already that big of a derpy.
It's like don't learn about your idols as a kid when you get older. The way he played the game, I loved. Watching him play baseball.
Me and Lenny follow each other on Twitter.
Yeah, I think Lenny and I follow each other too.
Hey, Lenny.
Because he followed me a few years ago, and I was like, how do I not follow Lenny
back? You
gotta
follow Lenny Dykstra, man.
Yeah, but then...
Lenny's been known to call the station after hearing his name invoked.
I know. In Q&A, I have to answer the question.
So Joe might get that smoke
honesty.
A little bit.
I can't lie. You ask me a question in Q&A, you're going to get an honest answer.
Come on, Lenny. 215, we got to open the lines. Address your beef.
All righty then. Now, this one came because the other day I was watching Top Gun, the last one, which was pretty good,
the one
the
last summer came out?
Maybe? Yeah, the one that came out with the Tom Cruise. You know they say Tom Cruise did most of his own stunts. I think he flew the plane, too.
Not buying that. No shot.
You don't think
he did that for Mission Impossible back in the day?
Yeah, because he jumped off the cliff.
Yeah.
He did that.
Back in the day. That's prime Cruise, though. How old is Cruise now?
He hasn't aged that much, though. It's the same.
I ain't going to tell you what a friend of mine says he'd be doing, but I'm...
Whatever it is.
Al Pacino stuff?
Well, no, he probably is getting his Al Pacino on. Shout out to Al Pacino about to be a daddy. I just think that's so funny, man. Can you just imagine Al Pacino making a baby with that 30-something-year-old?
Well, now it's in my head. I don't really appreciate that.
Well, you know what's going to happen? The worst thing is, here's what's going to happen to Al. He's picking the kid up at daycare in 2 years, and someone's like, your great-grandpa's here. That's dad.
You know what? I don't feel so bad now because my son is like 4, and Al's like, 80?
Oh, yeah, you're not in the same league.
I thought I was going to be the old-ass dad at the daycare, but no, I don't feel bad
anymore.
He's
two generations above you.
you're no longer the old-ass dad. You're just an old-ass dad.
Yeah. I'm not the only one, though. It's a couple other cats out there that's the old-ass daddy, but I'm one of them. So what would your fighter pilot? Oh, I didn't even ask the question. I got ahead of myself. So if you were a fighter pilot, what would your call sign be?
I don't, like, what are my choices? I don't know the choices.
No, you pick your own call sign. What would you want your call sign?
Give me an example of a call sign. I don't know.
Like, one of them was, what was it, Ghost? One was Maverick.
Okay.
Call sign, the Top Gun sign. Yeah. Maverick, Joker,
Goose. Mongoose, or was it Mongoose? I don't know. I'm not a Top Gun guy.
I kind of like Mongoose.
Yeah,
Mongoose,
like, is pretty cool. You can't take somebody else's call sign.
So I kind of come with an animal here or a name?
You can think of anything, because one guy's name was... But he left people, and they called him Ghost because he would ghost his
You know what? Maybe the people could help me with this one. Chime in. Oh,
Joel. Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad one. It wouldn't be.
What is that? Is that a lion?
Well, like
roar?
Lion, yeah.
A lion.
Call sign lion.
Lion, and then it's just Joel. I'm Joel. When I'm in the fight.
Yeah,
I'm in the jet.
Yeah, Joel.
All right, let's go
that
with
works.
That one.
Kyle, what would your call sign be?
Man. Dork? I don't know. Anything good.
Yeah, I mean, if we're asking people to name it for me, it's going to be nerd, idiot,
yeah,
moron,
like, I'm not
dope.
Trying to think of, like, what my spirit animal would be. I don't know, like a freaking snake or something, you know?
Yeah, I think snake kind of works for you.
Mongoose?
I don't love mongoose.
That's not a snake.
I like something that's sort of like, yeah, like I'm sneaky, you know?
Yeah, there's something, there's
cotton mouth?
Snake.
Cotton mouth.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good for a radio. Yeah.
Smoking crack is like a great high.
All right, 215-592-9494. We'll come back. We'll hit every one of your phone calls here. Of course, we have the Phillies. Trey Turner, if you could, would you undo the contract? I would. Hugh would not. Impressions of Nick Nurse from yesterday. A lot to get into here. 215-592-9494. We'll get you up on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.